one that I've been working on recently. It's called Two Moments of Sanity. Outside the class on managing anxiety, you're chain smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, too worried to care about incongruity. I have not spoken in days. Things beg to be replaced. In town I buy pillars of paraffin. Light bulbs degrade into dead things during sleep. They do not pass away. They fucking die. They cease to exist in a way I understand. I do not change the light bulbs in this house. We meet at the cafe. In the quiet moments, you make standing figures of sugar packets. The song plays. The road to hell is paved with incremental compromise. Too many fled to drain rivers in other counties. I am safe as long as I am careful. I am safe as long as I keep control. I am insane to believe this. The reason I hurt people closest to me is they're nearby. I need you, go away, is a bad relationship mantra. I cannot change you. I cannot change anyone. But I feel I can trust you. Should I? Show me. In the quiet moments, you do not turn away.
Thank you, James. Next we have Simon Aronson.
Going back to London a lot at the moment, there's some spy haikus about a trip back to London and returning to Ireland. Families intertwined, echoes through generations, celebrate the good. The party over, transport for six takes too long. Staff clean as I wait. The scent bursts afresh, perfumed by nature's bounty. City's early spring. In summer's blossom, the long view at the crossroads, flowers hide signposts, and Emerald Gateway, a trek through London's Heathrow, Ireland homecoming.
Simon, next could we call Eugene Crowley to the mic, please?
Under a rock, one pet, and a tree sources of as far in the lee, or o'er lost in it. The Durica, the Plecon Moor, the Bullet Moor, like Frosted Earth, Casula, Shostakovich, Scove, Fitla, Nivalega, Egonis, Cain Town, and a chain lifted, Law and Orleha, and Gardecar, and Dr. Russell, and Clown Akela, Gar Shockton is Jig, Yen Shema. And Collins the stretcher, and walking wounded, the wasted years. Tomas, Treluk, Diagus Mirilat Unhala and Cahar, Gunover, Gun Mass, Gun Liberty, Shimin.
For Margaret, Eugene, and now could we call on Sue Blue?
Thanks so much. Thanks very much. I'm glad I can be here tonight. This is called Moments of Birth. When the only way is forward, and you must completely trust the people that surround you, letting go of all control. For that moment of a life carried by the hands of others over the edge of a knife, through the tight channel out, to finally squat on the ground on all fours, clinging to earth, and wake up to the first glance of the newborn into the light. A light that calls you into life like awaking from surgery, that lovingly supports each step with patience and compassion. Bestows empowerment to grow with the strength of a child, nurturing you and letting go, just like a caring parent. Giving lead with each new grasp to the fresh life sprouting, until all the tasks of living will be in these new hands. Then the rising life can go on, independent and strong, to discover its own direction through the tight channel out, find its own people and path with new moments of birth. Then the cycle of life can continue, and you have played your part.
And next we have Mads Green.
This is just for Dermot Gavin's new fixture in the Victorian Park frame, modern Egyptian looking eye. Is my take on it. Gavinized. You can take a dive through Gavin's pink rimmed eye, or take a peek through at the merchant princess, whose river view is now askew by monocular obscured, jaded taste buds recoil at this visual offensive. And you can take a sit in its new curvy wooden bits. The interior mirrors a Swedish seated sauna, all framed by its shade cerise. Take a coffee at your piece, gently inhale the scent of spring fauna and fauna, that's from Michael Cannon. Within the shape of the surrounds, symbols of Masonic apron I found, with its all-seeing eye on the proceedings from its cargo hold stronghold, its gangplank has unrolled 14 silver balls, submerged, tilted or leaning. There's a couple of red colour, for Chelsea Gardens gave a snooker, be observed by Gavin's orbs of silver wonder. A vivid tang will galvanise, its boldness disturbs or delights, the shades mingle with cherry blossom and rhododendron. But don't be surprised by Dermot's lovely river eye, pupil vacuum spies all the better or at least splendour. Floral iris shines beneath Victorian pines and shady leaves. Seamus Murphy's Stone Age time will test its tenure. So, well, it's just a short song. Was it my sister before?
No, sorry, it's one. It's
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Very well, thank you, Matt. Next, we have Sue Cosgrove.
Hi, this is not a, it's not my own poem. I was chatting to my friend Anthony Owen, the Coventry poet, a few weeks ago, and about the Rwandan genocide, because I live in Rwanda, my younger daughter was born there, and it's the anniversary, 20th anniversary this year, and he happened to have written a poem about it, so I thought I'll read it at the open mic. It's called Beyond Rwanda by Anthony Owen. Walk with her to Kigali, where roads are made of cotton, twitching in the midday sun, like pupae. Stop with her in fields where guavas unshackle themselves. Their slave ship fragrance sails Africa, rolled by wind from Tutsi oars. Stare with her from the lowlands where a kneel of hills look back to the blind savannas, graze them. Run from her, she is Rwanda. Let dusk pour machete portraits and sign sky in darkness that made page
10
of a rag. Thank you. Thank
you, Sue. Next we have Rob Urquhart.
Hey, Rob. Do Finnegan's Wake. Twice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Just do this. Me and my tiger. My tiger spat and scratched and swore. She beat the ground. It let out a mighty roar. With whisker stiff and talon sharp, she scared me silly. She scared me dash. She chased me up and down a tree. And just when I thought that I was free, she lashed me with her velvet claw and rattled all the teeth in my lower jaw. I wasn't standing for that, and I nearly punched her back right on the nose, but from her eyes, the tears they flowed. She stood her ground and she growled loud, and I turned around and I jumped about and I flew as fast as I could flee, right up to the top of a great big tree. But when I stopped and looked back down to the ground, there wasn't any sign that there was a tiger around. I quickly shinned back down the tree. I searched as far as I could see. I looked up here, I looked down there. At last, I found my tiger's lair. It was a cave full of bright and beautiful things, with chests of gold and diamond rings and human skulls with teeth and hair. Wow, there was many a marvellous thing in there. Just then I saw where my tiger lay upon a bed of straw and fresh hay. The tears still coursing down her cheeks. She looked like she hadn't slept for weeks. I crept in close with a quiet glide, and I lay me down there by her side, and she looked at me, and I could see that this tiger would really love me. Tiger's eyes burning, burning bright like a white moon on a black, black night. Tiger woman, so graceful and fair. I love tigers because tigers, they are.
Next we have Deirdre O'Brien.
This is a really short poem about here tonight. So it's Hayloft. Hayloft, you will make me sad in time when I look back at now, because it's a good old night gathered round an open mic, with thoughts and stories as diverse as five words of an obey verse.
Thank you. Next we have Mary O'Connor. Yeah.
This is about my time in boarding school, which was basically very happy, and we were completely unaware that elsewhere things were not so good. So it's called Blissfully Unaware. Tuesday, 11 o'clock for the break in our boarding school refectory. Mother Joseph poised at the head of the table. Now pass up your cups for the cocoa. Her no-nonsense voice says it all. I whisper, the taste makes me sick. Drink it down, child, and offer it up for the poor holy souls in purgatory. Her flawless logic of self-sacrifice fails to get through my 12-year-old skull. It wasn't all bad. Wednesday soup was delicious. The sisters who taught us were decent and fair. They offered us dancing, deportment and drama. We were not asked to study during retreats. When showing certain films, they blocked out the love scenes, but cared for our welfare and gave good advice. Please help out your mothers during the holidays, and try and eat fruit instead of all sweets. My ingenious mother, who wrote every week, knew that the nuns would open our mail. She craftily hid a note that she wrote up the sleeve of a sweater she sent in the post. I found the contents so shockingly funny, I almost undid her bid to keep quiet. We gently subverted the rules of the convent, not guessing that elsewhere subversion was rife. Thank you.
I won't say anything about Catholic schoolgirls. Patricia Walsh, please.
A short one, and it's called August Evening 2001. Sitting on the architectural bluntness of deck chairs, drinking cans before night falls in, contemplating our strategy for sin once we reach the top of the stairs. Chernobyl walls couldn't keep me from you, as we realized on the initial step. No reservations for other places, a folded hair as easy as crepe. Can you reach for the light switch? I am so helpless under the circumstances of your mess. Love is a strategy, as I found, but we have stood on common ground.
Thanks, Tricia. Next, we have Hugh Bradley. Hugh?
This is actually a true story. It came to me in a dream vision after 12 cans of Tennant Super and a bowl of tomato soup. It's two pages.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, I tried to tell the doctor. Doctor, I said, I've been talking to you, and for about 30 seconds I felt listened to. Then I see your big doctor's brain in there, doing these sums, working it all out before you have all the correct data. I'm still telling you important things, things you haven't heard yet. He seemed to become more awake and leaned forward. Right, he says, hold on a wee minute. He loosened his tie and smiled a big smile. Tell me your problem again, he says. Doctor, I says, before you ask me, I'm not having any particularly stressful events going on. I'm not moving house, getting divorced, or being bereaved. This problem I have, it's not a stress response. It is, I believe, a neural connection problem. A circuitry difficulty. A bit of conduit has come off, and as a resulting short circuit, perhaps. Or else it's God, isn't he, talking to me? Let me explain man to man, I said. Aye, he says, go on. Have you seen Sesame Street, I says. I've seen Sesame Street, watched it a few times, he says, with a kind of interested, patient expression on his face. There was a guy in Sesame Street, the Count, he's called, and what he does is count everything. Plates, flowers, anything at all. And he seems to quite enjoy it. It may not get the same thing, but believe me, it's not enjoyable. In my life there's no whole, only parts, bits, items, and as I perceive a thing I count it. How many things in the room, cars going by outside, hearts beats. I can't relax, Doctor, I'm in a hellish numerical world. And like I said, this isn't obsessive compulsive, this is electrical or spiritual. Something came to the doctor and he pipes up. Are you losing any weight? He says. Why do you ask? I says. It's just, there was a case, he says. A young man went on a mental arithmetic diet. He thought that doing sums was hard work, so he could burn off a lot of calories. Easier than cutting out the chips, he thought. Anyway, there he was, sitting up into the night, doing additions, multiplications, what have you. Well, one night, in the middle of a particularly tricky algebraic equation, he went, pow, disappeared, gone. I wasn't too impressed with this, so I says to the doctor, I'm not losing any weight, and I stay clear of equations, to be honest. I was beside the point, you're right, he says, tell me more. Well, I want a holistic approach to me not living in a holistic world. I'm not telling you what to do, but if you could believe me, doctor, acknowledge my pain, can you do that? I hear where you're coming from, says the doctor, bad situation altogether. He rolls up his sleeves and continues to look at me. If I could get a referral doctor to a sensory deprivation tank twice a week for 10 weeks, say, I think I could re-educate my mind, grow some new neural pathways, ones that respond to difference and similarity in an acceptable way. The lack of stimuli could help empty my mind of all the re-add up electrical responses, and it might be quiet enough to hear God. What do you think? Listen, he says, I can hardly afford to prescribe placebos. You can't go down that road. But listen, this one thing, you have an idea. He leaned his big bulky body forward. Are you aware of homeopathy? I am. You have stuff and you dilute it many times. Like the really weak Kiara you get at some neighbour's houses. That's right, he says. Now, if you could get a dilution of numbers, a new way of seeing the world, a new paradigm, I think you could be onto something here, I said. It was good if you understood. You're not talking about long division here, are you? No, he says. A dilution of numbers could mean putting big spaces in between them. Like one, pause, the long pause, two, you see? Also, we could make the numbers less precise. One equals maybe one, two equals two or so, three equals a few. My mind was trying to grasp the essence of this new world. I felt optimistic. Less precise and big gaps in between. It sounds good to me, Doctor. A more holistic, more spiritual view of altogether. Thanks, Doctor. I can work on this. Well, work on it, Mr. Ricardo, he says. anything else for now. Aye, I says, could you do us a few jellies? No problem, he says. A nice bit of a script for 100.
Thank you, Hugh. Just a few more now for the open mic. We have Charles Clark.
Wildlife of the suburbs, something we all experience but don't always observe. Wildlife of the suburbs. A tribe of white calling cats is now extinct. Let us pass to birds and mushrooms. The lapwing, birds of aliases, visiting during a cold winter, walked round and round and round, then in its social petrifaction, refused bread and flew off over the rugby pitches. In the mating season, a tiny bird bounced on a holly leaf, a short hop to the dry stone crevices, buttress and boundary of the lawn, carrying twigs for nest making, an ambition not to be realized. 8 wood pigeons held a board meeting. Closely collared doves stayed aloof. An autumn glut of elderberries. The blackbird, like a comic drunkard, lost all fear of the human species. Large mushrooms of a woodland sort have developed a taste for lawn clippings.
Thank you, Charles. Next, could we call on Michael Ray?
Midwater. 1 minute I'm in a wood of book, moving with its weather. The next I've fallen in love with your open mouth. The wave lengths that you work on are irresistible. They displace shadows. Remind me how you copulate each day with oceans. You are part owl, watching me through your vast cornea. Your body prowls like a ripping tiger. Almost silent, you slide by unnoticed. Those surface undulations, detailed reports on the world of land. The sky is your handler. Your rendezvous in cloud. Prepare for the next incursion. And when you come back, your touch will make me more. Water will always be my aphrodisiac.
Thanks, Michael. Before we call on Lady Grew, is there anyone who wanted to be on the open mic who isn't? Because we've got just about enough for one poem or two. If anyone hasn't read, would like to say a poem. Cal?
Sure.
Cal Doyle. Yay.
It's not really a poem, it's a dick joke, sort of. 21st century Marx. I love the means of production so much that I will give it back to my proletariat comrades after the revolution. And such is my love for them that I will split it up into consumable packages and sell it back to them at a low, low price.
The absorption of communism. Do we have anyone else before our grand finale? We don't. Please welcome to the mic, to end the night, Lady Grew.
Hi everybody, it's good to be here. Put your hands together for all the poets before me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Don't let them say that I'm wrong, 'cause I am that I am, and ain't it sweet how we ache? I won't let them say that it's wrong, boy, I'll show you wrong. Hey lady, you're shining, let your moon rise, lady. You're shining, shining, my only in your heart, your home, bright and calling my falling lady. You're shining, shining. In these meat-covered bones, I'm a ghost and I drive it. Hum and moan of our ghosts as they're colliding. My time, I'ma sell it. Take yours and do what? As long as you're happy, I swear I couldn't give a fuck. Abolitionists in this patriarchy, go home. Give women the power, then leave us good and alone. Cooperation has been forgotten lately. I'm a lady of the night, I don't need your saving. Lady, you're shining. Let your moon rise, lady. You're shining, shining, my only in your heart, your home, bright and calling my fallen lady. You're shining, shining. See, they have you believe that it's all for your good, 'cause surely for freedom you won't act like you should. We can't be trusted with action over hope, or when the best time that our seed be sown. For millions of years, we trusted the group, then culture came in, now we're told what to do. Cerebral cortices grow, the soul is empathy, nature and nurture can exist in peace. Who are we? All we see is light in the mirror, your light in my mirror. Who are we? Are we